My name is Matthew. If we haven't met yet, I'm one of the pastors that's part of our wider North Langley family. And so it's always a joy to be part of the Yorkson family and to be here on this Sunday. And I'm going to say more about this in a second, but it's so great to hang out with the teams that are serving, that are giving so much every morning. And so it's really a joy to be here. And I did hear that comment about the Flames. That was unfortunate. Unfortunate comment. I, along with Pastor Jeff, am a Flames fan. And so we're a small minority who's rooting for the Florida Panthers. But anyway, yeah. Okay, so I want to welcome you guys back to our series in Colossians. And we're talking about being alive in Christ. I hope you've been encouraged so far in this series, in the small book of Colossians. Many of you know this spring and summer, we're just working through the book. We're on this journey, and we're going to walk through the letter line by line, exploring the rich message that it carries for us today. And as we've seen week after week, I hope you've seen this already, this letter is all about Jesus. It's all about the life that we've received because of Jesus. Paul is passionate for the church to know that we are truly alive when we are found in Christ. In Christ. That's a really specific image that Paul uses often in the book of Colossians, that we are in Christ and we are alive when we're found in him. We're most alive when our life is hidden in Christ. And so his message is simple. All of Jesus for all of life. All of Jesus for all of life. And I recognize you're coming today. Yes, it's sunny. It's beautiful. But your life may be going through a lot. Like you may be going through a lot of stress, a lot of pain. Life is difficult. It's hard. And I hope today that you'll feel hope as you hear all about Jesus and about his love for you and the way he's calling you to himself. For those of you who feel like life is good, life is exciting, things are going well, that's amazing. And I hope that you today hear that Jesus is calling you to use your gifts to love him in a deeper way than ever before. But for all of us, no matter what we're feeling, is that our purpose and life is found in Christ. You know, and I really do love it here, and I want to say more about the teams this morning. When I showed up this morning, there are teams of incredible individuals who are setting this place up for worship. This room does not look like this at 7:30 in the morning. And the way I watch them serve, it's so beautiful, putting this room together for you. That you would come and be able to experience Jesus. The children's teams that are leading and loving our kids right now. The hospitality teams. The fact that there's a whole crew here that makes breakfast every morning for those who serve. The tech teams. Just incredible people. I just love it. I love what is happening here. Coffee, yes, that was included in hospitality, but that's good. but yeah, no, coffee, like just incredible. And did you know that we have this new team of translators who are translating this moment, like right now, that this is being translated into Spanish. And just so grateful for our translation teams. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And how amazing to see Silas on worship here this morning. It's amazing to see Robbie as well, but Robbie's on our staff team, which is awesome. We love Robbie, but it's so great to have a Yorksonite leading us on the cajon this morning. And this is what I want to talk about today. This is what we're going to focus on today. Today, we want to talk about your role, your part in the church, that this is not meant just for one or two or a small group of people to be serving, that this is all of us together to love the body of Christ. If you're new to Jesus, that's in the Bible we see that the people of God are called the body of Christ. That each of us are different parts of the body, but we work together to love him. And so today you're going to hear Paul's passion for the church to be fully mature in Jesus. He's going to do everything he can. Paul's going to use all of his gifts to make sure the church is growing deeper and deeper into full maturity. So would you take your Bible right now? Would you open it to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians 1. I know that scriptures are usually on the screen, but because we're going through the book of Colossians, it would be good week by week, bring your Bible so that you can see the context. You can see where we've been at on this journey. So Colossians 1, and today we'll read verses 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So, Yorks and family, this is the word of the Lord. There's so much in this text, and we could go several places here today, but what I want to focus on is Paul's passion. Did you hear Paul's passion? He's passionate for the church. Paul seems to be about, maybe the earliest would be about 56 to 58, something like that, when he wrote the letter. He could be much, much older than that. It's a scholarly guess, but for those of you here in your late 50s or early 60s, what are your energy levels like these days? Now, at 45, I'm 45, my energy levels are starting to get lower, much lower than I would like. Now, some of you here are like, hey, I'm like 65 and I'm biking like kilometers, so many kilometers a day, and I'm running marathons. And I'm like, hey, good for you, right? But let me talk about my life for a second. 45, my energy levels are getting lower. And you guys seen the previews of the new Mission Impossible movie? Tom Cruise is making me tired just by looking at the previews, right? Watching him hang off an airplane at age 62, I'm like, chill out, buddy. It's very disheartening. He's 17 years older than me. I've got some friends that really enjoy hiking. They love to hike. They often invite me to hike with them, and I've slowly said no a lot to them, and I have told them that I'm into this really new thing, and I just would love to introduce the Yorkson family to this. It's really cool. It's a new way of working out, and it's called flatland hiking, and I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's catching on faster than pickleball. I want to describe it. It's like hiking, but it's on flat land. So, now, some confuse it for walking. This is a very big mistake. It's called flatland hiking. Anyway, that's what I'm into these days. But I just want you to see Paul's passion here, right? Paul has this incredible energy. He says he's suffering for the church. He's a servant of the church. He's proclaiming. He's admonishing. He is teaching the church. Paul's driven. Do you notice that? He's driven to see the church at Colossae become fully mature in Jesus. And one thing I want to point out is that for Paul, where he gets that energy is not just because he's got a great diet or some kind of, you know, workout regimen, right? He knows he's filled with the Holy Spirit, that all the power and the passion that is in him, it's because he has been filled with power through the Holy Spirit. Our church does not typically celebrate the liturgical calendar necessarily, but some of you who maybe come from liturgical traditions, you'll know that today across the world, Christians are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, which is the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why does Paul have passion? How does Paul have this power to be at work loving the people of God? It's because he was filled with power by the Holy Spirit. And today on this Pentecost Sunday, we remember the power and the passion and the love that is available to each one of us as we follow Christ. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have the passion Paul has for the church. Listen to how Paul says it. Verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now look at these final words, strenuously contending. You know, Paul's probably drawing from an athletic image here. Right? It's Bible scholar David Powell who says it's a picture of, quote, sustained effort for a particular goal. Some of you athletes, you know that you'll have a goal and you'll have a sustained effort for a particular goal. You want to hit that goal. And for Paul, you know what the goal is? It's not a marathon. It is to see the church fully mature in Christ. Simple church attendance, not enough. Beginning the growth of discipleship, not enough. Just a little bit of Bible knowledge, not enough, right? He wants to see the church fully mature in Christ. That's the goal. And he is strenuously contending to reach that goal. And I love that. I love how focused he is. Fully mature in Greek is, the word is teleos. So it can be fully mature, perfect, complete, lacking nothing, fully grown. Fully grown. So imagine right now, take a moment and think, I've always wanted to follow Christ in this way. To maybe have him heal some addictions, to heal some of the things that I know are distractions in my life, that I would be able to serve him with all of my gifts, that I would truly be a person of love, genuine Christ-like love, that I'd have like the joy of sharing the good news at my workplace or at my school. Like you probably in your mind, you have a vision of what full maturity looks like in your life. And how incredible Paul is a pastor who's like, and I want you to get to that place. Like, I want to see you fully alive. And I hope that's our heart as pastors of this church, that we would have that same goal to see our church, all of us, including us as pastors, like all of us growing into full maturity. This is a goal, not just conversion, not just church attendance, not just people tithing. The goal is for the church to be fully mature. Now, let's remind ourselves, Paul is in prison when he's writing this. This is unreal. Prison has not slowed Paul down. His prayer life is active. His pastoring continues. He's using his gifts. He's contending in chains. And I want us to see a really bizarre phrase Paul uses. Look at verse 24. We'll have it on the screen here. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Okay, what does this verse mean? It's a little odd. Does this mean that somehow Jesus' death on the cross is not enough? Not at all. See, for Paul, nothing needs to be added to the powerful gift of the cross of Christ. But right here, this is what he means. He says, while we're still in the world, Jesus continues to serve us. Jesus continues to sacrifice for us, to care for us, and to pour out his self-giving love upon us. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus is still serving you and pouring out his life for you? The blood he shed on the cross is sufficient to save us and cleanse us of sin. But Jesus wants to keep caring for us through self-giving love. And Paul's like, I want to embody that love. Paul is living out the love of Jesus for Jesus' people. So when Paul serves the church feels like Jesus is serving them. And when Paul cares for the church feels like Jesus is caring for them. And when Paul loves the church feels like Jesus is loving them. It's like Jesus has this storehouse of care and love to give to the body of Christ, the church. And Paul's like, I will use every gift I can to be the kind of person that brings all of that to God's people. And Yorkson, I just want to let you know, you can be that person too. And many of you are those people. Because as you serve Yorkson, it's like your hands and feet are how Jesus is caring for Yorkson. Have you ever thought of it that way? As you practice hospitality, as you use your gifts, as you teach, as you set things up here, use your gifts of worship. Like your hands, your feet, you are serving the body of Christ. You are Christ to one another, hands and feet of Jesus. Do you see Paul's passion? When we look at this text, I think we see two things. Here they are. Number one, Paul knew that his care for the church was how Jesus was caring for the people. And number two, Paul knew that when he loved the church, he was loving Jesus. See, this is a double win, right? When you use your gifts, picture your life, how God has wired you, the gifts he's given you. When you use your gifts to serve here at Yorkson, this is how Jesus is loving the people. And yet, mysteriously, it's how you are loving Jesus. It's beautiful. Do you see Paul's passion? See, when I care for the church, Jesus is caring for his people through me, through my gifts, through my time, through my love. What an honor. So when I love the church, I'm actually loving Jesus. So here's the question. Could the Holy Spirit renew a deep passion in us to serve the church? That's what I hope is going to happen here today. That right now in your heart, think of your life, that there would be a spark inside of you that would go, you know what? I feel like for whatever reason, maybe you've been burned by a church in the past. Maybe you've been hurt by Christians before. Maybe you tried to lean into using your gifts and somebody discouraged you. I don't know what the reason is, but that today that you would go, oh, there's a healing happening inside of me as I feel Christ pulling me back off the bench into the game. You know, off the bench. Like in many ways, we bench ourselves. We're like, nah, I'm good. You know? And whatever hurt or pain that's there, that you would sense Christ healing you and calling you again. Like, come, be part of this. There is so much joy here. Like, you've got gifts to use. Come, be part of the game. Now, when you look at Paul's passion as in his late 50s, early 60s, I just want to ask, is this the life script that we've been given in our secular age? No, definitely not. The script that we've been given here in the Lower Mainland in 2025, is that if you're in your late 50s or early 60s like Paul, then this is a time in life to start heading to Palm Springs or Arizona all the time. Yorkson, am I right? Yes. Okay, this is the lure. This is the thing that's being dangled in front of every person, right? How much do we have to be able to be making to be able to like retire and just move to much warmer places? It's weird on a day like this to remember that we know what most of the year is like here, right? And Palm Springs in Arizona sound really good, around November-ish, February-ish. But people like who are Paul's age, we are uniquely tempted. And I know here at Yorkson, I don't know how many of you are in your, no raising of hands, but in your 60s, 70s, 80s. But if you are in that age, I think there is this unique temptation to pull back and to fade away. Like maybe as empty nesters, you might have some free time, the opportunity to go cruising, the hope of some golf, the lure of vacations. It's all pretty strong. And my wife wants me to say today, I didn't say this last week when I preached the sermon at Walnut Grove, but those things can be really good things. I think I came across a little heavy last week. Just so you know, I'm not anti any of those things. They can be beautiful things. But I think what I want to do is to get us to already be planning, what will your retirement years look like? For those of us in this stage of life, I'm not there yet, but as I prepare and think about it, I can imagine, right? Like, well, hey, maybe I've taught Sunday school for years or served at church functions or, you know, was part of bringing food to the poor or part of church plants or mission trips. And maybe I'll feel like when I'm 65, I'm like, well, listen, I've paid my dues. Like I've done a lot, right? I've leaned in and maybe now it's time for some other people to take over. Now that the kids are grown, there's a temptation to pull back, fade away. And I just want to look at Paul. I want Paul to be an example to me, I hope, in those years. That whenever I feel a temptation to pull back, it's to see that this Christ-filled energy that so powerfully worked in Paul would inspire me to lean in again, to serve with the gifts God has given. And I want to say to any of you in this age group, I'll say something to the rest of us here in a second, but if you are already in your, maybe in your 50s, 60s, 70s, and you're already planning retirement, I would just love to offer you maybe a different way. What would it look like, along with some amazing golf, but to lean in and to mentor and encourage many of us who are younger in our 20s, 30s, 40s, who need your generation, who need your wisdom, who are looking for guides to go, okay, that's a beautiful Christ-honoring way to use our time and our talents. And we're looking for mentors. We're looking for those who have gone before us, who are a generation or two generations ahead, who can show us what following Jesus looks like during those years. And I just want to say to you, if you are in your kind of retirement years and you're like, I think I'm done, and maybe there's some discouragement there, I just want to tell you, Christ loves you so much. There is a beautiful opportunity for you to lean in some beautiful ways. I was just listening to the story of one of my professors from Regent College in Vancouver, and he was telling the story. He's 87 years old. His name's Paul Stevens, and Paul Stevens is 87 years old, and he's lost his left eye, and he lives in Vancouver, so he takes public transit. And he was telling the story of taking public transit, the 99 bus, you know, and it was packed one day, and he says, I'm an old guy, so some young kid gave me a seat to sit in on the bus, and I had to hold his guitar. And slowly they began this relationship of, like, discipleship. This young guy told him that he was on a journey to know Jesus more, and here's this young 20-year-old. This 20-year-old was a rapper, and he's really into rap music and does his own rapping, and I thought it was beautiful that this professor, who's 87 years old, is now discipling, meeting weekly for coffee, and pointing this young guy to Jesus, met with him for a whole year. And so if you're in this age group, like there is so much more and so much joy and a new chapter that Jesus could unlock for you. Now, to all of us, I want to say this. We are tempted to fade back. And I'll tell you what, it's very tempting for all of us, no matter how old we are, even some of you who are teenagers here or in your 20s, the digital age we're living in will tempt us to pull back in isolation, to not serve, to not bless, to not use our gifts, but to pull back. And the word is escapism, right? It's to pull back into a social media world, to pull back into online pornography, to pull back into online gambling, to move into digital spaces that continue to isolate us from one another. And so if you were to right now, don't do it, look at the amount of screen time on your phone, and you were to see, okay, what apps am I using? And how many hours a day am I using those apps? And then you were to kind of assess the shows that you're binge watching, and how many hours, and then to look at your time on social media and how many hours, and this is not an opportunity for guilt. What it is just an opportunity to invite all of us out of the digital space and into real life community. And to say, actually, it is important for me to come and to love the Yorkson family, to give my gifts. I can definitely say no to some digital space time in order to make room for a life group or to make room on a Sunday morning to serve, right? To be with people who are messy, right? People who are complicated, people who are amazing, people who are incredible followers of Jesus. It's all here in the room, right? We're all messy. This room is messy because I'm here and I'm a mess, right? But the joy of serving as one church family is beautiful. And so calling us out of those digital spaces. And one other stumbling block for all of us is just busyness. How much have we signed up for that is not serving the body of Christ? How many things have we enrolled in? How many classes are we a part of? How many hobbies do we have? And hobbies can be good and classes can be great and it can all be wonderful. I have my wife in the back of my mind here reminding me to say those things. They can all be beautiful and wonderful. But like, how much are we a part of? And has that busy culture removed the opportunity to be part of this community, this family, and to serve with your gifts here? Did you know God has given you gifts? Spiritual gifts to use for others? Like I mentioned, we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday today, the moment the Holy Spirit fell upon those early believers and gave gifts to the people of God. We've done a whole sermon series on spiritual gifts, so you can check that out online, but I want to read Romans 12 and just remind you that you have gifts. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So the church is Jesus' body, and we're all different parts of the body, and each of us has gifts to be used to care and love for one another. And I've recognized that so many gifts are here. You have gifts that I don't have. I need your gifts. Yorkson needs your gifts. And together, we're the body of Christ. My son, Micah, he's 9 years old, and he asked me one day, it was super random, he's like, why do you love preaching? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, Micah, I think maybe God has given me this opportunity, this gift to use, and I need to use it. Like, if he's given you one, you gotta use it. And then I said, you know, God has given you gifts too, Micah. And what do you think those are? And he immediately paused, and he's like being awesome at hockey? Like being awesome, we need to do a whole thing on pride here, but yes, yeah, like being awesome at hockey. But like, so how can not only spiritual gifts, and I'll mention some of these here, but even the things that you are up to and doing, and hey, if you are good at a particular sport, how could God use that in his kingdom? But how many gifts are there? Well, the New Testament mentions over 20 different gifts. I'm just gonna fly through these, but just find yourself in this list. Prophecy, serving is a gift, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, mercy. How many of you in the room have the gift of mercy? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, the gift of healing, miraculous powers, discernment, discerning of spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's so much there. And there's more. But you are God's piece of art. You are a masterpiece. He has created you for a purpose, for beautiful work in the world. He is delighted when we invite or when we use those gifts to love others. So let's listen to Paul again. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I have a couple more thoughts here, but I want to let you know that next week here at Yorkson, we are going to host a ministry fair. And I want to tell you about this, and I want you to come next week prepared for the ministry fair, where there's going to be options for ways to serve and ways to bless this family. You see, here's the deal. What we learned the bad way as a church family is that inviting people to serve in the fall is like, it's already too late. People are locked in the fall, and the fall, like Labor Day weekend, boom, we're all off doing new things, and we're busy. And so our thought as a church family was like, what if at each of our campuses we would do a ministry fair here in June, and that we would all prayerfully consider ways in which we're ready to go in the fall. And so this ministry fair next week will help you explore how God is calling you to love him in a deeper way as you serve, and take your time to prayerfully think through how God might ask you to use your gifts this next year here at Yorkson. Our desire as a church is to be ready to go in the fall. And so we're going to do this in June, and we want our teams to feel full. And not just like we've filled out a checklist, but that all of us feel excited about what God could do here in the fall. And so we want teams ready to contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in us and to remember the joy that's available as we serve Jesus. So just imagine, Yorkson, you're going to run an Alpha course. And so how many of us in the room will get to experience the joy of being part of serving at that Alpha course? You know, every Sunday in the fall and next year, this space is going to be transformed. And the joy that I saw this morning on the teams as they served, that joy can be yours to be part of those setup teams. Joy in serving children and pointing them here at Yorkson to Jesus. Like right now, just imagine all our kids. The kids are there, they're learning. Who's teaching them? Could it be you in the fall that's part of that team, pointing kids to Jesus? The joy of translation. Maybe some of you have been given the gift of being able to learn languages easy or knowing some of the languages here. This Langley is growing. We love all of those who are immigrants, who are coming, who may not speak English very easily. And so like, how could Yorkson be this beautiful place of welcome to those who speak a different language? Being part of our tech teams, amazing tech crew, or honoring Jesus through worship. I know Robbie would love to hear that there are many of you in the room that would go, okay, I play bass, I play acoustic guitar, I play keyboard, I sing. Like, Robbie and the worship teams would love to hear that you're here. So that more and more, here's a vision, that your teams would be made up of people from Yorkson. That they're not people traveling from Walnut Grove or from Alder Grove or whatever, that it's your family. It's people right here in this room who are like, God has given me the ability to play guitar. He's given me the ability to play bass, to sing. And that it would be you here on stage. That it would be something truly Yorkson here. What would that look like? Hospitality, on and on. There's so much more we could say here. But that's going to be next week. Would you take this week to prayerfully consider where it is God is calling you to serve? There's so much joy as we have front row seats to what God is doing. All right, I'm going to bring this to a close here, but again, I want to ask the question, could the Holy Spirit renew a deep passion in us, and change that language, in you, to serve the church? In my life, when I consider how unlike Paul I am, I know that I can easily serve in order to get. I can give in order to receive, right? And the danger is that I would start serving like the older son in the prodigal son story. If you're new to Jesus, you may not know this story, but Jesus tells the story of a father who had two sons. And these two sons rebel in different ways. The younger son goes off and parties, but the older son rebels in a weird way. He stays at home and serves and does the quote-unquote right thing for the wrong reason. He's only serving to get. He's not aware of the love of the Father on his life. And he serves out of bitterness now and serves like he's a slave. And it's so dangerous. And yet I found myself in that place over and over again. And the answer for me is to continually look at the Father in that story who runs out to find me, to remind me of his love for me, and to remind me, some of you know the story, you'll remember, the Father says, everything I've ever had has been yours. Father loves you. We know that there's really bad ways to serve, right? On the one hand, we could be anchored in people-pleasing. We could be trying to earn the love of God. We could be assuming that if I do this for God, then God owes me. We could be doing this out of a place of bitterness, out of feeling like we've got to do this because no one else is stepping up. Like, that's a really ugly place to be in. And it's a place I find myself in often. And yet we can also swing to the other side. And there's a way to say no to everything until the perfect, low cost, low stress, low bar, least demanding option rolls around. And it's like, oh, sure, I could do that. That costs nothing, right? Boundaries are good, but there's also something called boundaries run amok, right? And we have such tight boundaries, we end up doing nothing. So we know that there's two different ways to, in the pendulum swing, to serve poorly. And I think for us, here as I end, is just to reflect on the love of God. That there's a Father that loves you deeply, has wired you in a particular way. You're his piece of art, you're his masterpiece. And he wants you to know the joy of moving out of digital spaces, of coming off the bench, and finding joy in doing what you are wired to do, which is to love others through your gifts. That there's life there, and there's joy there. And so we need to come back and remind, I am loved by God. I'm forgiven. I am set free. I've been given new life because of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's who I am. And in 1 John 4:19, the last verse I'll give you is this. We love because he first loved us. That's why we do it. That's why we serve. And so I'd welcome you to stand. Would you stand with me? If you feel comfortable, would you close your eyes? And we're going to enter into a time of prayer. And as we begin to pray, I want to remind you, we have prayer teams that are in the back who just, if you need to, you can just slip out into the aisle, head back. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Maybe it's to discern, what are my gifts? Maybe there's a sense of bitterness you've been having as you've been serving and you need healing. And maybe it's just to be filled with the love of God. So our prayer teams are there. But right now, just as with our eyes closed, we want to pray, come Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, we remember you fell upon the believers in Jerusalem. And would you fall upon us today? Fill us again with the love of God. Remind us that we're your workmanship, that we're your pieces of art. Come, Holy Spirit, and heal the broken places within us. And I pray that each of us in the room would hear you call our name. Call us off the bench. Call us out of loneliness and isolation. Call us out of those digital spaces. And call us out of busyness. And Lord God, would you do something beautiful in the coming months here at Yorkson? That there would just be this beautiful life and joy as people step into what you've called them to. And so, Lord, we love you. And we know that there are many here in Willoughby who have yet to hear the good news. And we pray that this fall, that the spiritual gifts here, Lord, would be so active that people would walk into this place not knowing you and experience your love, Lord. And we pray this in your name.